At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Those Working Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture, fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Christine.
And today we're chatting all things Team Conrad versus Team Jeremiah from The Summer I Turned Pretty through episode 4 of season 3 of The Summer I Turned Pretty. So we'll let you know when spoilers are incoming.
Yes. So. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe some of you have read the books, and I just want to give everyone a disclaimer. Natasha and I have not read this series.
I read the first book.
Okay. We have not finished this series. So, we will be projecting our theories and stuff with no basis of where it actually ends, you know? So, Please don't spoil us. We're going to give a warning so we don't spoil you if you haven't watched it yet. But first, as always, we are going to go into Snap Crackle Pop Culture News. If you want to skip all of our segments and go right to the main discussion, there is always a timestamp in the show notes or the description of the YouTube video. So you can always just pop down there and pop to the discussion. But we are rolling into Snap Crackle Pop. And the first thing I have on the dock today is that Chapel Roan has a new song called Subway.
Oh, it's running through her heads.
It's addictive, man. She's got a way. It's good. Like, it sounds like a song you've heard before in the beginning, and then We get to the bridge and it's amazing.
And it just goes on and on and on,
and it keeps going, and it's so fun to sing.
I wake up with the song in my head.
Yep, I've just been singing it for the last like 2 days, and the music video is good, and I love the imagery with the hair. And
I need to watch the music video.
Yeah, you gotta watch it. It's a good one. Demi Lovato also has a new song that I haven't actually listened to in full yet. I listened to the little snippet that's on her Instagram, and I really liked it, but I haven't listened to the song. I think it's called like Hard and Fast, but I can't review it yet. Do you have news this week, Natasha?
Yes. Okay. So the movie The Naked Gun, which stars Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson, has been getting like amazing reviews. Okay.
Yeah. Paul went to see it and loved it.
Okay. Yes. So, fun fact about this film, guys, is that Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson are, like, dating. They're, like, an item.
In real life.
They haven't, like, confirmed or denied it, but they are just saying that, like, we kind of fell in love, like, on the set, and it happened really slow, and it kind of just let things happen.
That's so cute.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but Natasha Richardson was Liam's wife, and she died in a tragic skiing accident. This has been burned into my brain forever because I thought it was just so sad.
About it too hard because it like freaks me out.
No, it makes me so sad.
I always think about it.
So he hasn't really been with anyone, and I just love seeing two older people of the same age.
Yes.
Being together in Hollywood in particular.
It's beautiful that they found the love on a set because usually it's like the youths.
Yes. But The Naked Gun, I want to go see it. It's got like, okay, when I say amazing reviews, it just, the reviews are about the comedy aspect of it.
Yeah, well, they're like, it's a comedy, so.
Everyone's like, I haven't laughed that hard in a theater in a very long time.
You don't ever want to go into the theater expecting to laugh very hard.
Yeah.
So I just keep that on your mind. It's good. Go see it. I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm just saying, everyone's saying it's fun. Really fun. Yes. Siobhan says, I also love Martin Short and Meryl Streep. Me too, so much.
I was confused by that. I thought Meryl Streep was still married.
I don't think so. I think they've been dating for a while now. I think they were working together on Only Murders in the Building, and they're dating in that show, and it was really cute. And they've been dating in real life.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty positive for a while now.
Okay.
Yeah, Meryl Streep divorced her husband quietly.
No, it's still unconfirmed, but they've been seen out and about.
They've been seen out so often holding hands.
All right, that's why I was like, wait, what?
All right, I've got it today in Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Yeah, I just saw this pop up, but her old director that did like Bad Blood and stuff with her was talking about how during the Reputation era, they actually shot a full music video for King of My Heart, but they never finished it because she scrapped it. She was like, I think Ready For It is a better single. So they never did the visual effects for the King of My Heart music video.
Oh.
But it was all shot, which is really interesting to me. I think he said there was a lot of visual effects on it, so maybe it was like kind of like the Karma music video, which I didn't like because I don't like when music videos are all visual effects.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I think she made the right choice. Ready For It is such a fun song.
Yeah, it's like, wait, release it though.
Yeah,
especially if there's
well maybe she would have released it in her Taylor's version as a single. And on the movie news, Freaky Friday has debuted at 86% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I'm really happy to see that that's doing well, and I'm excited to see that movie because I fucking love Freaky Friday.
I haven't watched any of the trailers. Have you?
No, I don't want to watch any trailers.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so this is a rumor, guys, but I've kind of been getting around that Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, and Woody Harrelson have finalized deals for a 2-day shoot in 2026 for Pickups and Sunrise on the Reaping.
Oh my God, are they going to do an epilogue?
I hope so. I hope we get to see.
Yes, I would love that.
But I also want Effie there too. Like, wow. I want to, because they had like a little thing at the end.
We'll see, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you know, maybe they would keep that silent for spoiler purposes. I don't know.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And I just saw this is a kind of a completely different note, but we talked about I'm Glad My Mom Died being turned into an Apple TV series with Jennifer Aniston, and Jeanette McCurdy is showrunning and writing the show. Mm. And I guess they had Jason Reitman signed on to direct. He did Juno, Up in the Air, Saturday Night, totally, like, he's a big movie director. Mm-hmm. And he just left the show because of creative differences with Jeanette. And
oh!
Yeah. And apparently, like, there's a source on this email, but, like, I've never heard of the website. But, like, apparently, the series has been given, like, a short window to find a new director to replace him, or it'll be put on hold indefinitely. Which is crazy to me.
Oh no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, 100, but I do know that, like, when things are moving forward and you don't have a director, it can collapse pretty easily. So,
oh my God. Well, okay.
Hopefully. But Jen Aniston is on board, so I think that she'll be able to find somebody. Like, she knows a lot of people.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. I hope so too.
All right. Well, before we roll into what right now, we have a spicy ad incoming. So if you have kitties or utes in the car, if you're listening out loud and you want to pop in some headphones, this is your chance. Y'all, we've got a spicy ad incoming today. So if you have utes in the car and you'd like to pause, please hit that pause button and throw on some headphones. Today's episode is sponsored by Balesa Boutique. Y'all, Balesa has blessed us with a ton of free spicy toys to give away today.
And not just any spicy toys, silent ones.
That's right. If you haven't heard of Balesa, this is a designed by women for everyone company that's completely flipping the script on sexual wellness. And they're all about empowering you to embrace, explore, and celebrate your sexuality.
Balesa sent us a stack of new toys that blew my mind, and there's one that is a complete game changer. Yes, I've tried them all. Listen carefully, because we need to hear this. So I'm going to turn it on.
Is it on?
Yeah, do you hear anything?
I can't hear anything.
Oh!
And that's the point. Silence. Valesa just dropped the first ever silent vibes. No noise, full power. Silent vibes.
So if you live with roommates, parents, or if your partner is sleeping right next to you, these toys are silent, but without compromising the power. Guys, I was amazed.
Valesa somehow figured out how to make the most powerful, satisfying, mind-blowing toys with zero sound. The Whisper Collection includes the Whisper Vibe, Whisper Rabbit, Whisper Wand, and the Whisper Bullet.
And of course, we had to hook you guys up. So we're doing a giveaway with Valesa where everyone wins a free spicy toy. Yep, you heard that right. A fully free Whisper Vibe or a free rose suction toy with any Whisper order. You know that viral rose shaped suction toy that's all over your Instagram feed. Yeah, I actually now know why it's viral. It retails for $99, but you get it for free, which is iconic. All you got to do is click the link in the episode description or head to bbvibes.com/fangirls. That's bbvibes.com/fangirls.
The Whisper Vibes will stay completely silent, but the question is, can you? All right, we're going to move right on into what right now. Natasha, What have you been reading?
I'm still reading Project Hail Mary, and I love it.
Yes. Okay. I knew you'd love it.
I know I already talked about it last week, but like I just got more and more into it, and it just keeps getting better and better. And I was talking to Christine about it all day yesterday because I was listening to it on the car ride up to her house for her birthday. And I'm just like, I'm hooked. I'm hooked, guys. It's so good. Like, I have been trying not to watch the trailer as I get more and more into it. I'm like, I don't need to do that. I'm just going to spoil myself in some way. So that's going to be my treat at the very end. But it's pretty long. It's like 16 hours.
You're going to watch the trailer at the end?
Yes, I am.
You're going to spoil it.
It's fine. I will have already read the book.
I know, but like, I don't want to see how they did it. I don't want to watch it.
I guess you're right. When is that coming out?
It's top of next year. So
next year?
Yeah, like the beginning of next year. I feel like it has like a March spot or something.
Oh, 2026.
Yeah, we know that.
March.
Okay, that's 20th. What I just said. Okay, March 20th. So it has a March spot. I think that's when... Did one of the Hunger Games come out in March?
Lots of the Hunger Games. Most of the Hunger Games came out in March.
Yeah, it feels Marchy.
Batman versus Superman came out in March.
Great. All right. Well,
I'm going to get Alex to read it next, too, because he's going to like it.
Good. Yeah, I've been telling people to read it for a while, but... The movie's coming. It's time to really get into gear. I've been reading Casanova LLC by Julia Whelan. It is the only Julia Whelan book that I have not read, and it's because I didn't like know how her audiobrary works, but she has like her own app for her own business for audiobooks. And so, and I, after last week's episode, I'm like, why haven't I read this yet? And so I started that book right after the episode, I think. And I had forgotten because I read Thank You for Listening back when it came out. And in that book, it's about two audiobook narrators that end up falling in love. And they're recording a romance novel together by this famous romance novelist that just passed away. And her last request was that she be the audiobook narrator and that this man be the other audiobook narrator, and they do it like duet style. And so that book, she had to write some of it to be able to give them scenes to read from it. And then she couldn't stop thinking about the concept of that book. And then it turned into its own separate book. And I'm really enjoying it.
And
the man voice is great, but let me just tell you, I do prefer Julia Whelan's man voice at all times. Which is so funny. But the concept is wild. So like the lead character, what the fuck's her name? Okay, I'm blanking on her name right now. But she's an art curator, I want to say. Like she's like really into like arts and stuff, and she's really sophisticated. And her husband is like a hedge fund wealthy man, and he has just passed away. And as after he passes, we realize that he was like doing a lot of like dirty business and like conning people out of money and stuff. So she loses like everything in the house, and all she has left is like her wedding ring. And there's this artist that she really loves, and they have a lot of his pieces, and he wants his pieces back because he was never paid for them. And she's like, what do you mean? He comes to see her, and she's like, what do you mean he paid you? And he's like, no, he didn't. And he realizes that she's not lying, and she's not in on it. And he has empathy for her whole situation that she's stuck in now as like a widow who was like left nothing. And she can't afford to pay him for the paintings and stuff. And he's like, let's barter, okay? You give me the paintings and I will give you 3 days of love. And she's like, what do you say? What? And he's like, I'm a professional. And he has like, so he's a professional gigolo, which I didn't even know what a gigolo was.
What do you mean you don't know what a gigolo was?
I didn't know what a gigolo was. Like, I used to hear people talk about it because it's like an old-fashioned term now. Like, nobody fucking says gigolo. Okay. They say sex worker, I feel like.
True. But in the, like, early 2000s, early aughts, there was this movie called American Gigolo.
I didn't know about this movie.
Oh, my God.
I was heavily sheltered.
That's true.
But we did have a cheerleading that was like, hands up high, our feet down low, and that's the way we gigolo, gigolo, gigolo. And I remember like parents being like, oh my God. And I was like, why are people scandalized by our cheer? And that was like in middle school.
So I feel like I've heard this cheer, but oh my God.
Yeah. Siobhan, I used to sing that at the YMCA as a kid. The counselors always had to stop us. Yeah, why did he have us sing that? Anyway, so he's a professional, but like he's like trained. It's the family business. He's trained in the art of like finding women, like fulfilling women's fantasies and pleasuring them. And he has this whole villa in Venice that he brings them to. And, like, he's very expensive, obviously. So it's very wealthy women that do this with him. But he has a whole thing that he'll bring them for 3 days to his Venice villa and fulfill, like, whatever their fantasies are for pleasure. Anyway, she's, like, scandalized at first, but then she's like, huh. She's always like, from the time she discovers his art, she's like been really attracted to him. And when she first met him at like one of his art things, she was really attracted to him. And yeah, so she says yes, and she goes to Venice, and like kind of like feels like a sexual reawakening for her, because she hasn't felt desired in that way in a really, really long time. And it's really interesting learning more about him, because like his uncle is like, he was the other person who trained him, and he still works there and upkeeps the house. And when he gets there, he's like, you like her, and that's against the rules. Okay. And he's like, shut up. So they're going to fall in love, and I'm excited.
I want to read this.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm doing the audiobook because it's Julia, and I'm not sure what the man's name is who's narrating, but they're great.
Does he sound like a suave, like gentleman?
He sounds like a very like sophisticated gentleman, whereas like I'm used to Julia's like kind of like playful, snarky voice. You know?
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, he's a little like sophisticated for my taste. All right. TV shows. Have you been watching anything?
Just as I Brighter Turned Pretty.
Nice.
Which is what we're talking about today. Me too.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in the main show. So we're just going to skim right down to movies.
I, Alex and I rented 28 Days Later. Mm. Okay, so we have seen like 28 Years Later.
Oh, fuck. That's a long time.
So, because there's 28 Days Later, which came out like 2001, 2002 with Cillian Murphy.
Mm, yeah,
back in the day. And I remember my mom, we rewatched that movie
at the turn of the century.
We rewatched it so many times. I just didn't, I was like, I don't like this. I want to watch it.
Can you give me the one line? Is it about vampires?
It's zombies? About zombies. Okay, the zombies. Entire like island of the UK gets infected by the rage virus, and they're not technically dead, they're like sick. Mm. And it can be transferred with just like a drop of blood, you know, like hitting your eye, you know.
Oof.
Yeah. Or saliva. And so that infects the entire continent and the the island, and then it goes into quarantine. No one can leave, no one can get there. Cillian Murphy wakes up in the hospital and he's like, what's happened? And then there's 28 weeks later. I don't really remember how that one goes. Just watch 28 Days Later with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Well, you just watched 28 Years Later, you said.
28 Years Later. I'm sorry, I keep getting them mixed up.
Okay, I'm getting confused.
Okay, I just watched 28 Years Later with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Okay.
And Ralph Fiennes is in it for like a hot second.
Oh, yeah.
And then what's her face from Killing Eve?
Oh, the blonde or Sandra Oh?
Blonde.
Okay. Can't remember her name right now.
And honestly, I didn't really, Alex and I were kind of like let down from it. It wasn't super like there was a couple like really great like
Jody scenes. Her name's Jody.
Yes. And there was like a couple really great chase scenes. My favorite part was when we met up with Ralph Fiennes. Mm. And at one point he goes, he's been like this, like he's like, he plays this doctor character, and he makes statues and like buildings and not buildings, more like monuments types of things with skulls. So he boils skulls. Oh. Yeah. And then he stacks them on top of each other.
That's giving something.
It's weird. But he actually, I do like his character. And he's figured out that if he drugs the like these zombies have like with the rage virus have like morphed into like these alphas, whatever, he like drugs them and then they pass out and then he like kills them, whatever. So at one point though, he's been by himself for a long time and he goes, it's been 13 years. And Alex and I'm in the kitchen making, I'm like baking something, and Alex and I go like, it's been 13 years, because it's he says it in Harry Potter too, guys.
Does he say 13?
Yes, when he traps Harry in the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Then he, 13 years. Come on.
Well, I'm just thinking of Sirius Black. I did my waiting 12 years of
12
it.
Years of it. That's 12.
Yeah,
this
I know.
This is 13.
I know.
Because it's a book later.
You just kept saying 13 and all I could think of was Sirius Black saying 12 years.
Anyways, okay, that's the only thing about that movie that I really enjoyed was Ryan's.
cool. Well, I have no interest in seeing those scary movies.
You don't need to. I feel like I was the whole experience was against my will. My entire life.
We are going to roll into our main discussion since I have not watched any movies this week, right? No. I don't think so. You know, we didn't talk about Blood of My Blood again. Oh, we saw God. Blood of My Blood. We saw the first episode and a half. No, first episode and 10 minutes the next episode. And it was so good.
So good. It is.
It's the prequel to Outlander.
Yes, I'm sorry. And I'll go. It's a prequel to Outlander. We're following Jamie's dad and mom and then Claire's parents. And we ask the question, what if Claire's parents never die? I didn't remember any of this.
It's not really like, yeah, it's not really like, what if they never died? Is that what if, like,
they went through the stones?
What if they went through the stones and people thought that they were dead because of it? Yeah. Yes. And because that's what happens to everyone who goes through the stones. They're eventually assumed dead because they're not around anymore.
They're in a different time period.
Yeah. And the second episode, like the first episode, we're following Jamie's parents. And the second episode opens and we're following Claire's parents. And we like follow them through the car crash that we hear about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's
Claire's already born.
Yeah. Claire's already born. It's really endearing because like, we open on Jamie's mom and we just like, she has her own like full story and she's the eldest child and she's a woman. And so when her father dies, she can't be the laird, which is like the lord of the household. She has two younger brothers and one has a limp in his leg. So there's this like bias against him being laird because he like can't run into battle. And then there's the other brother,
Dougal.
Yeah. Who's very cute. Young Dougal.
He's so cute,
but
guys.
He's like very like brash and brawny, you know, and he doesn't think things through. He just goes. And there's a little Game of Thrones going on in between them for their own household. And then there's other houses that want to take control of their house by marrying Jamie's sister. Mm-hmm. Like, so there's a little
sorry,
baby.
Not Jamie's mom. Jamie's
so,
mom.
Oh, so sorry. Diamond, their sister, Jamie's mom. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. she's the smartest and she's the most on top of her shit. And it's so upsetting that she can't be laird because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. Is this the 1600s or 1700s? 1700s,
this is right? 1700s.
Yeah, okay. In the 1700s. And all these men are like, marry me, marry me. And she's like, fuck off. And then she accidentally meets Jamie's dad. And she has to like sneak off because it's a forbidden romance because it's their rival house.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited about it because I feel like we're going to be in Scotland mostly the whole time. I think maybe if they have, like, we might go to Paris because Jamie's other, like, uncle is down there, possibly. But, like, this is, like, Scotland. And I miss Scotland in the show.
I miss Scotland, too. Like, we both exited this premiere being like, I want to go rewatch Outlander. Like, because we're so far from the first season. Mm-hmm. So we're so far from, like, the backdrop of where we are now again. Like, we mm-hmm. don't remember, like, the intricacies of all the characters and how they, like, talk to each
and
other
the houses,
as their
yeah.
older selves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I forgot about that. I want to rewatch. Got to start my Outlander rewatch.
Alex and I finished the last season. We had, like, two episodes left. And it's just wild. Like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for the last season, but I'm honestly like, I think if you guys dropped off like Christina and I did after like season three, four, yeah, this is where the heart of the show lies, and I'm so excited about it, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be so fun like watching these characters like fall in love. Well, first of all, Jamie's parents fall in love. Mm-hmm. Claire's parents are already established, but
they have to get back to each other.
Yeah, because they both are just like
in different spots trying mm-hmm. to survive.
And it also will probably go back in time to World War One where they first like fall in love too.
Yeah.
Kenny says, I've never watched Outlander. No idea why. Sounds right up my alley. I'll add it to my list. I do want to give some trigger warnings.
Yes, there are many trigger warnings.
It is extremely traumatic in points, especially at the end of season one of Outlander. There's a lot
especially of... Especially season two.
Season two, yeah. There's a lot of essay and killing and things like that.
And a lot of like pregnancy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that can go wrong goes wrong. Like, that's just all we could say. Every bad thing that could happen will happen. But, like, it's also, there's so much heart. Mm-hmm. And their love story is so powerful. And there are such, like, beautiful moments between them. And it's so endearing to watch their love story. So, and it's really good, like, well filmed and acted and all that. Mm-hmm. Going back to Blood of My Blood, there hasn't been as much trauma over there. We've only seen one episode, so. But I'm sure they're going to go through it, too. But let's talk about the casting real quick. So if you haven't seen the cast of Blood of My Blood, they got a woman named Hermione who looks so much like Claire. And this she's playing Claire's mother. It's unbelievable. Like, we met her in person, and it was crazy looking at her. Like, she looks so much like her. And then Jamie's father was, like, we heard the backstory with this. Like, the producers, he auditioned for some role in Outlander, and they were like, you look a lot like Jamie.
Sam.
A lot like Sam Heughan. I think we should just hold him because we're thinking about doing a prequel. And if we do it, we're going to cast him in that instead of casting him in any role in Outlander. And they did. And he looks so much like him, except with dark hair instead of red hair.
There's a photo of them at the premiere with them, like, side by side smiling. And they've got this, their smile is similar.
And their noses are so similar. And their face shape.
Yeah, it's crazy. I do think Sam is a presence. Mm-hmm. Like, Sam Heughan has always been a presence. It's not the same. Sam's taller. He's bigger. Yeah. But, like, this guy, his name's Jamie, actually, who's playing him. He, definitely, it's such a good casting, and I'm really excited about it. But like, the guy that I like in the show is his name is Sam. Is his
name is Sam? He's playing Dougal. Yeah.
Sam Reed. He's playing Dougal.
Yeah, I like it. He looks like a beefier, bigger Dylan O'Brien with a big beard.
Mm-hmm. But what was it? Yeah, the thing with Sam Heughan is that, like, when he catches your eye, you're like, no one else says that. Like, we went to their signing and we're just going down the line, and like, I like smiled at like Dylan O'Brien, man. And but like, when I locked eyes for a second with Jamie, I'm just like, I don't know what I'm thinking. I am dazzled.
With Sam?
Yeah, with Sam.
Okay,
with
you Sam said Jamie.
Oh, fuck. I know him as Jamie way more. Like, I just, from Outlander, we're just always like, Jamie.
Okay, but yes, I'm not talking about Jamie, the man, in real life. I'm talking about Jamie from Outlander, who is Sam Heughan. Like, his eyes sparkle with the light of a thousand suns.
I mean, that's why we fan casted him in so many things back in the day. Like, he's our Tamlin from, like, he's my original Tamlin.
Ew, don't put him in Tamlin.
Listen.
Don't put that on him.
I know, but at the time I liked Tamlin when I was reading ACOTAR, the first one. And then I was like, oh, wait.
I never did. If anything, though, I would have thought of him as, I think I might have, like, subconsciously thought of him a little as the annoying Lucius guy with the eye patch. Lucian.
Siobhan, sorry. Very similar.
Like, Siobhan, that doesn't sound right.
Siobhan said there's some really good sites up with timestamps to skip if you want to skip some of the violence. Yeah, someone's also said that, like, Outlander has just as much violence and, like, sexual violence as Game of Thrones. So just,
it's a little more, it feels a little bit more personal with some of the other trauma. Like, I have never watched something as traumatic as Claire's, like, baby journey on television.
Yeah, that was a lot.
That was a lot.
And even, like, the very end with Sam and Blackjack.
Yeah, that was hard.
Jamie and Blackjack.
Yes. Yeah. This is where the names are getting very confusing. Like, I blacked that out. Like, until you mentioned it at the end of season one, I, like, took it out of my memory that it even happened.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
And I read that shit. I read the first four books.
rough, man.
And as soon as I got to like one point in season, I think it's season four with Brianna, and I was like, no, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
Even though I have limits.
It's a lot because you get really invested in them because they're so fleshed out and you spend so much time with them and you love them so much. So, like, I feel like I never was as invested. I mean, I was in certain Game of Thrones characters. But, like, you feel much closer to the characters in Outlander because there's two that you're really following.
Yeah, they're with us the whole time.
The whole time, yeah.
And they're together mostly the whole time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And, I mean, Katrina Balfe is just a powerhouse.
She's such
a great actress. Mm-hmm.
That's why I stopped watching, because Brianna was not holding a candle to Katrina Balfe.
Yeah.
And it was like hurting me to watch.
She gets a little better, Alex. Alex had continued watching the show without me because he wanted to watch the whole thing because mm-hmm. he got really into Scotland stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, she gets better. And I was like, okay.
No, How long did it take?
I skipped like almost a whole season. And then I jumped right back in. Alex kind of just caught me up.
See, I was really excited to watch the season in America, but then I couldn't watch Brianna. She was heavily in that season. Mm-hmm. It was really funny when we were at the panel, and I watched this episode when Jamie beats up Roger.
Oh, yeah.
And Roger was talking about how that scene is really like burned in his memory because it just felt like it went on forever and he just got punched 500,000 million times. And he was like, is this in the book or are you guys just hazing me? Anyway, really good. I'm excited for another episode. I think the first two episodes are going to premiere, right?
Yes, the first two episodes are premiering. I also want to say that Diana Gabaldon is writing on the show. She writes she co-writes the season finale of Blood of My Blood, and then she co-writes episode 8, I think, with the showrunner.
Cool.
Matthew.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, we are gonna roll on into our main discussion, but first we're gonna take a second to thank everybody out there listening. Thank you so much for being a part of our pod community. We love y'all. If you're not already, we'd love it if you follow the podcast for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be Spotify, Pocket Cast, Apple Music, Amazon, wherever you listen to shit, you can follow the podcast for free. Just click the follow button and then you'll never miss an episode. We also
for free.
And we're also on YouTube for visual if you like to watch your podcasts, youtube.com/@thosefourkingfangirls, and you can hit the subscribe button for free. And we love your feedback. So if you ever have anything you want to say in response to any of our speaking here, please leave us comments on the YouTube, or you can leave comments on Spotify. And we see mm-hmm. them all. We appreciate them all. And it makes us feel like we're talking to you guys instead of mm-hmm. talking into the ether. So we greatly appreciate any of that. If you like the pod, if you love the podcast, we'd love it if you gave us a quick review on Spotify. All you have to do is click like the 5 stars and you're done. And if we hit 1,000 reviews by the end of the year, we're gonna pie ourselves on the in the face as celebration and put it on our channel.
I'm just checking how many we have. Right, we have 800, guys. 800 Woo, 200 ratings.
More.
And 200 more.
The pieing will happen. And we have a Patreon, which is why we can do the show. The support of viewers and listeners like you. We appreciate our patrons so much. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you're not already, though, we have some really fun benefits on our Patreon. The first tier, Team Jacob, you get the show ad-free. You get to come to recordings, be in the chat, be a part of the discussion, and you get Fangirl Tea Time, which is our half an hour extra show attached to every single episode. And when you sign up for the first tier, you get Fangirl Tea Time from episode 120 onward. And if you sign up for the Team Polis Bananas tier, you can go back through the archive. We have 119 other episodes, full fangirl tea time. And what we do is like tell stories about stuff going on in our lives. We dig into deeper topics. It's really, really fun. And we love everyone over there. So thanks for supporting the pod. We couldn't do this without you. And if you want to support the pod, you can go to patreon.com/thoseworkingfangirls. And there's a link in the show notes.
Okay.
All right. If you're a patron, we're going right into the main discussion. If not, we'll be right back after these messages.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right. Big disclaimer as we roll on in again. Okay, just in case you missed it. We have not read the final book in the Summer I Turned Pretty series.
By Jenny Han.
By Jenny Han. Okay, so please don't spoil the actual end. We will be talking about the show through episode 4 of season 3. So if you have not watched that yet and you don't want to be spoiled, this is your time to hit pause and go watch and then come back and discuss it with us. Metal says, I missed the intro. Is this a Summer I Turned Pretty episode? It is indeed. We are going to be talking about Team Jeremiah versus Team Conrad and everything that comes with the relationship we're seeing there in this brother's trope.
We have never really talked about this in depth.
Yeah, before. We haven't. So I'm really excited because there's a lot to talk about right now, especially in season 3, like the culmination of this brother's trope in a real life situation. Yeah, so there's just, we haven't really explored the concept of brothers in a real life kind of grounded situation in our regular time. You know what I mean? Like we see it in like fantasies and urban fantasy and like the Vampire Diaries, they're vampires. It's kind of different because they live for so long. This is real life. Two brothers, and it feels pretty different. Like, I still love it, but like, it's troubling.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Really hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Okay. So, again, please don't spoil us for the end of the books. We want to enjoy the show. If you don't want to be spoiled, leave right now. Okay, guys? All right. So, what I want to start with is like the foundation of our Summer I Turned Pretty teams. Okay. So, like, did you go into this with a team? Because I know, like, just by living through the 2010s, okay, that Conrad is endgame by looking at him. You know what I mean? Like, he's like angsty as fuck, and he like doesn't want to talk, and he'll say things and then just turn around, and it's just, he's very 2010 in that, like, he's also not giving us much like levity, you know? He's just like in his angst.
So I
was Team Jeremiah because I just hated that like kind of stereotype archetype.
I kind of remember going into this and being really excited about the concept of it, because I had always had this dream, I think, of having a summer that you turn pretty, right?
And well, you have the summer where you're kind of coming to your, like, everyone has like an age, not a summer, where they finally like come into their own and feel confident in themselves.
And I read the first book, and I was like, yeah, this is okay. But then when I watched the show, I think they just did a wonderful job of
translating that for the screen.
Yes, exactly. But at first, I was just, I wanted to experience this like really nostalgic summer for, I think, both Christine and I, because we both spent lots of summers on the beach, and Christine had a shore house and all that. But like the dream of like living or being with boys, and you're all growing up at the same time,
And oh my God, wait, one of them, I've been like,
were there
in love
boys
with
that weren't related to you that was like at the beach with you ever?
Yes.
Oh, see, yeah. Like I was never around boys that weren't like my fucking cousins.
No, this was, I mean, I have a twin brother and all of Alex's friends.
They would come.
Yeah, they would all come and like spend like days and nights, and it would just be like, and that was like youth group basically.
Okay.
You know, but like with my family. And so like, you know, I had church camps and things like that where mm-hmm. I was like in love with two of the guys for a very, very long time. So yeah, like,
and you are right about the summer I turned pretty. Like we all do. We did. That was like a youth fantasy of like, yes, when you'd like turn pretty and everyone would like look at you and be like, oh, she's hot.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fulfilling that fantasy.
So I feel like Jeremiah was a boy that I have always known and seen, who is like super like surfer boy, like really fun and charismatic. And then Conrad was just, you know, I think written by a woman in a sense.
I don't think he's written by a woman enough.
That's true.
Like he is kind of a shadow of a person in mm-hmm. season one. You know, mm-hmm. we don't really get much from him ever. And he's dealing with a lot, but like he never communicates anything.
Yes. So it's like I loved the angst, I guess, between Conrad and Belly, and this like her wanting him to like, I get that so much, like mm-hmm. her wanting him to like her back. And Jeremiah was just like cute and fun. And so initially I was just like, okay, yeah, Jeremiah, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah. No, Aaron, Conrad is not Will Herondale. Will Herondale's so funny. How could you compare? How dare you? Conrad made me laugh zero times. Siobhan says the smoking was a big turnoff for me in season one. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was smoking pot, right? It wasn't like a cigarette, but still. Yeah. Belly was so me when it was like, I thought you said that you hated smoking. I thought you said smoking was for people. Nah, nah. Like when he's with, I mean, I would never say this in front of other people, but like when he's first seen with Nicole on the beach and she's wearing like the hat of like the Patriots team or whatever sports team it was, or maybe it was like the Red Sox. And she's like, I thought you hated the Red Sox. But like, you know, like, I hated seeing people be so hypocritical. And teenagers do it all the time. They say something, and then, like, to be cool in the moment, mm-hmm. they, like, pretend this exact difference. I fucking hated that because, like, I remember everything you said. And you said 5 seconds ago that you hated that. And you're being so annoying. Stick to your word.
Yeah. I mean, I think I went back and forth a lot because I wanted to see how the whole Belly and Conrad thing transpired. Like, I wasn't against any of it. I just want, I wanted one of these boys to like step up and be kind.
Yeah. Well, Jeremiah is like really nice to Belly.
Yes. Yes,
but
yes,
he does do some questionable shit. Like, they're both mm-hmm. pretty questionable. The firework thing, fucking dangerous.
I don't remember. Can you remind me?
Okay. So Conrad and Belly are talking at the end of the dock at night on 4th of July. And like, they're kind of getting close. Like, it looks like they're going to kiss. And Jeremiah is doing the fireworks, but he sees them from far away. And to make sure they don't kiss, he sets off a firework right near them. So it soars right next to the gazebo and explodes. And they're like, ah!
Okay. Yeah. And the other thing I remember, what's the episode where he has like a present for her, but he won't give it to her?
Oh my God. Yeah. So it's her birthday in the first season. And Conrad has that infinity necklace.
Yeah.
And it's his turn to give her a present. He's like, I forgot. Just like, because he's embarrassed to give her a necklace. And it's so like annoying 13-year-old boy who's trying to like keep the upper hand. Yeah. Mm-mm. Hate that too. I'm like, he gives it to her by the end and he's like, this was always yours. This is what I also hate about the first season. Like, I loved Jeremiah, they were so cute, he was so fun. And rewatching it, because now that the third season has started, I'm like, I gotta go look at this again because I gotta look at Conrad and see if he had any redeeming qualities in season one. And he Jeremiah talks to Belly and is like, hey, I have feelings for you. and they kiss, and then like they get their clothes taken away because Conrad texts when they're with the girls, and they see that he's like, I asked you to the ball because my mom said, I didn't ask you because my mom told me to. I asked you because I wanted to. And then they take their clothes and leave. Okay. And then they get picked up naked by the both brothers in separate cars. And she goes with Jeremiah and tells him, I want to go to the ball with you. I want to try this with you. They make out, right? Then the ball happens. Okay. And then halfway through the ball, Jeremy finds out about his mom and is like really upset and misses the dance. Conrad gets up. We have this big slow motion sequence to Taylor Swift as he gets up to do the dance with her because Jeremiah is too busy outside fucking crying because his mom is sick. And then they go home. She talks to him all night on the beach because she can't sleep. And he's like, I want to be with you. And she's like, well, I kind of kissed Jeremiah. And I don't want to hurt him. But he's like, well, if you want to be with me, you should be with me. He'll get over it.
Oh.
And like, it's just Jer, you know. And then the next day, like, she goes inside to tell Jeremy, like, come morning. He's like, I think we should tell Conrad about us. And she's like, about that. Oh, and she kisses Conrad on the beach. They hold hands. They walk together. They walk inside together. His mom sees them. And she's like, oh, I knew it. Meanwhile, she just committed to Jeremiah yesterday.
Oh.
I mean, it's so upsetting. I felt so bad. And then she has to be like, well, you know, Conrad and I were talking and we said, and he's like, we? It's so hurtful. Like, can you imagine?
You
put yourself out there and then that person turns around the next day and is like, well, actually your sister talked to me. And I'm gonna actually have to see where this goes.
Oh my God. Yeah, the whole thing. That's where like I was kind of losing. Was that season one?
That
or
was
season
the
two?
Finale of season one.
Wow.
Yeah, and Jeremiah had his hand on her like knee and like we should tell him, and then he like takes it away and is like so like it feels so bad for him.
Well, it's like all perspective, right? She had no idea about the mom, right?
Yes.
At that point.
Yes.
And so she didn't know what he was dealing with. So she just thought that he left without anything, like for what reason, just to be rude and mean to her. And then Connie steps in.
Yeah.
And is like a savior in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But then she does know now. And she still is like, I don't want to hurt him, but I guess I'm choosing Connie. Like she says maybe we should take a step back after she talks to Jer. But like why would she even talk? This is what should have happened. She should have been like, I'm sorry, we can't do this. Like, your mom's going through a lot, you know? And just to Jeremy. And she should have said the same thing to Conrad. And then maybe gradually, since she's not actually dating Jeremy, they just kissed once, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm like Taylor calling him Jeremy. Jeremiah. Then she could have started dating Conrad, and it wouldn't have been, like, so fucking problematic and mean. Like, the fact that she like told him that she wanted to date Conrad before like then being like, Connie, he's really upset. Like, how did you not know he wasn't gonna be really upset? He's living in the shadow of someone else's dreams. He's the second child living up to Conrad, the perfect student and the perfect athlete.
Team, everyone needs therapy.
Yes. Okay, also the volleyball in the first season, you know, when like Taylor hurts herself by accident, like hurts herself purposely, but she's not actually hurt so that Jared can come in. And then Jeremy's like not good at volleyball, even though he's ripped as fuck, is like, I can't even believe it. I'm just like, I can't. He's like falling and not getting the stuff good fast enough. And I'm like, how on earth is this kid not? And then Connie doesn't look half as athletic as Jeremiah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Jeremiah looks like a super athlete.
Jeremiah, like, he looks so much, he reminds me so much of my cousin. Mm-hmm. And it's weird for me. It's just so young.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Let's kind of, so you were season Jeremiah. You were team Jeremiah too.
I guess so. I didn't feel a certain way. Okay. I think definitely after season two, I was team Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, did anything romantic with Conrad ever stick out to you? Like, I didn't feel any of these big feelings for Conrad in any of those, like, special scenes in season two, you know?
Like, season two, not really. It was more of the buildup in season one where, like, I totally get this huge crush that she's had on him forever and ever and ever, and, like wanting it to come to fruition. I feel like when they were on the dock at some point.
Oh, yeah. That's the fireworks scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My unpopular ship is Conrad and Stephen, Metal says.
Way more meaningful interactions. Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Heron says, I like the theory that Belly doesn't want either of them. She just wants the damn beach house. The beach house is, that's the one true love, is that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that connects them all. Mm-hmm. Like, with Conrad, the strongest scenes for me have been the scenes in season three where we see them at the house over Christmas. Mm-hmm. And they, like, do the crossword together, and the chocolate scene when he walks in, and, like, when she falls on the floor. Like, he's finally, like, out of his angst bubble, you know, mm-hmm. in those scenes. But it's all very weird because she's now been with Jeremiah for 3 years.
That's cray.
That's fucking wild. And this is what scares me, because don't tell me, please, do not say anything. But, like, I don't see this having a happy ending. And I thought, because I went into Jenny Han reading To All the Boys I Loved Before, this is To All the Boys I Loved Before, nothing very bad happens, you know? Like, yeah. Their mom passed, but it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They have their life, you know, figured out. And it's all very cutesy and romantic and fluffy and wonderful. So I thought going into this series, like, that's the kind of books Jenny always writes. Mm-hmm. But Jenny actually, this series goes hard on the drama. Like,
the triggers.
And yeah. And when Stephen in this season got into an accident, I was like, what the fuck, Jenny? What are you doing? I am so nervous for everyone's well-being. Like, because I don't see how this could have a happy ending for Conrad or Jeremiah without someone, like, leaving the picture completely. Or doing a very long time jump. Or leaving the picture and doing a very long time jump of 10 years.
Or someone doing something just...
horrible?
Horrible.
But I can't see... them doing something so horrible, like, because they're all good people at heart. Who do you think's not a good person?
I mean, do we want to talk about the cheating?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the break. Yeah, but, like, let's talk about it, because Jeremiah is, like, this season is coming off more immature than he ever has before. Like, they're leaning into it that he's, like, doesn't have his shit together at all.
Who, Jeremiah?
Yeah.
I never really understood that until this season.
Well, yeah, it's this season where like, he is young and he doesn't know what he's doing. And he was raised in an environment where he was pretty sheltered. So he, like, doesn't really, you know, he has a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, he's not ready to get married. But the break thing, fucking, I was so triggered when they were like, we were on a break. I was like, I can't do this. I spent so long with fucking friends and we were on a break. I was like, this is not funny to me. This is annoying. Get it away. But, like, he thought that they were broken up, and they did say, are we going to break up? And left, you know?
Mm-hmm. But then immediately.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, like, he's allowed. Like, sometimes people cope by just, like, having meaningless connection.
Yeah.
Which is, like, obviously not something that, like, is nice to know. But, like, it can't be considered cheating if he did think they were broken up. With Rachel, it wasn't, like, technically broken up. Also, it was like, let's take a little break. Let's take a break. What's a break? There was no discussion. Yeah.
Gab says, but he knew he was going to Cabo. So yeah, did he have like ulterior motives behind the whole? It just,
I don't think so. What do you think?
Well, what I think is, I mean, I was initially like very upset. I was like, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. What? But then we didn't really know about.
I knew he was going to cheat. I just knew it. I don't know what it was because they set him up as a player.
That's true. I don't know. I just, I'm not team Jeremiah anymore. No. Let's just say that. Like, I don't like him. I don't like where this is going. And it does feel, someone said in the chat, like, it feels like they're purposely, like, making us not like him.
They
to
are.
Be back to Team Conrad.
They I'm just are. Like, they went so hard though, to make us not like him.
At this point, though, I'm team no one. I'm team let them all fucking grow up, learn some lessons, and then maybe come back together again. I don't like this, okay?
Like, I don't see this ending without a 10-year like jump to like how reconnect.
Are they gonna do it? Those they look like kids. How are they supposed to do 10-year jump? Oh,
do you think I look so different from 10 years ago? Like, no, we don't. We're in That's their 30s. True. Like, you just have to change your hair a little bit, change your makeup, and wear something different.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, absolutely can do that. but let me see. Yeah, someone said, Metal said, I'm with Christine on this, but he should have told her when they got back, and then it would have been fine. Yes, that's what he should have done. He should have been like, I, like, thought we were broken up, like, because we said we were. Mm-hmm. And I was with someone, and I'm really sorry. Can we move past that?
Yeah. Aaron said, I feel like the breakup wasn't completely official enough, and he was also acting sketchy before the whole Cabo thing.
I think he's acting like immature. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very whiny in this season. And like, if, I don't know if you noticed, but like whenever they're laying together, he's like in Belly's arms. Like, he's the small spoon. Like, she's taking care of him.
Yeah.
And like, we don't want, like, as like women who are usually the people who are like threatened by society, like the craving is to be taken care of yourself.
Well, and Belly has said that herself, that she feels that she owes it to him to always be mm-hmm. there. She said that she promised that she would always be there after his mom died. And I feel that it was a bad, bad, bad choice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She feels guilty. Yeah, she's momming. She has to mom him. And Pauline said Conrad has grown, but not Belly, though. And I agree. Conrad has, like, leaving to go to the other side of the country and, like, having to live by yourself, I think, really, like, pushes you in, like, so many discomfort zones. So he's had to grow. Mm-hmm. And I think you can see that through his interactions with Belly, like, in the Christmas scene. You know what I mean? Like, it's mm-hmm. like, he's not an angst monster. He's just like kind of there. mm-hmm. But like, we still don't get enough of like who he is. I feel like, you know, like,
I feel like he's really holding himself back.
Yes. He's very conceal, reserved. Don't feel. That is, he is Elsa.
But even in the scenes with that friend of his, I just, and like, she's trying to like get him
to talk,
to talk, and he's not really saying much.
Yeah.
I think the two people that I'm actually like very interested in watching is her brother, Steven,
yes,
and Taylor. And I just think they're just so raw, the two of them. And it's like,
Steven,
I didn't like it at first.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like,
I don't really, Taylor, I mean, it's toxic
around him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love that she has her own storyline with her mom this season. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm kind of rooting for her. Yeah. I'm kind of rooting for her and Steven to, like, grow up and then find each other again. But, like, right now, I just don't like that her flaw, like, stays consistent and, like, never kind of evolves throughout these seasons. Like, she's insecure mm-hmm. to the point of, like, where she pushes everyone away. And she just does it over and over again. And I want it to, like, her to recognize it, and then, cause she does recognize it, but she doesn't change. She just does it again. It's always her thing. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating.
Well, I think it's interesting, the juxtaposition of like Taylor and her mom, mm-hmm. and then Belly and her mom.
Yeah.
And how Taylor was supposed to go out and do this New York thing. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, I'm not going to do it because I want to be here with you. But then now we're all so upset. I'm so fucking upset that mm-hmm. Belly's not going to go to France because
she
of her.
Has to go to France. I don't believe she's not going to go.
I know that. We're not there yet. But yeah. like, I just.
The fact that she even said it.
I think it's growth on Taylor's part.
Yes.
To be like, okay, well, yes. I can still do that later, but I'm going to stay here and be responsible for my family. But Belly on her side,
yeah,
it's not
it's
growth.
Complacency. Yeah.
Yes. And she's not going to grow and do that. She's going to stay here where she's comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. And I love this for Taylor that she is like kind of stepping up and being responsible, but I do hate that. I hate that she's going to miss out on her internship. I love mm-hmm. that like we're also looking at Taylor as like a more well-rounded character. Like she usually is just kind of there to cause some drama, yeah, you know? But she's like
just
very
hot or do this.
Yeah.
Or this.
Yeah. She's very supportive this season. I love that she says everything that we're thinking when mm-hmm. she's like, what do you mean you're getting married? but then she comes around. Like, this is what I wanted her parents to do. Like, you have to come around at some point because it's so cruel to like hold your child. I like kind of like knife point to get them to change their mind. You know, they have to like come to this conclusion themselves. You can't strong arm them into mm-hmm. not getting married mm-hmm. when they're adults. Even like, though they're young, they're still adults. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What was your reaction when he was like, you want to get, and she's like, yes. And I was like, he didn't even, what are you doing?
Well, the whole car crash scene with Steven, I do really like Steven this season.
He has gone through a lot of growth.
Yes. I love that they had like a siblings dinner.
Yeah. But like that, again,
because
I love that
Jeremiah,
too.
Well, because Jeremiah was supposed to be there, but then he bailed because he's like, I can't do this right now.
I can't handle it. I'm like, fuck off, dude. Uh-uh. Like, it's a call with your dad and it's upsetting, but you can have dinner with your fucking girlfriend.
So, I mean, that's another thing that was really irritating.
Yeah. He doesn't Jeremiah. Have any capacity for any sort of angst. He just can't handle it.
No.
When he found out that he had to stay for another semester, he's like, oh, I can't handle it. Like, fuck off.
Or like when he lost Belly and his like roommate is playing video games. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? And he's just like, you have to like work.
The fact that he's so whiny this season is like so such a turn off in every way.
Yeah. Okay. So Steven gets in the car crash and it's like traumatic for Belly and for Taylor, and Jeremiah's there to try to, you know, mm-hmm. just be there for her. Her parents are nowhere to be found, so it's just,
well, they're hooking up at a conference, and I really love this for them. Like, I want Laurel to open back up because it feels like she almost, I don't know what happened with their marriage, but maybe it started to fall apart when Susanna was sick. Like, maybe she was neglecting that relationship, you know?
Mm, yeah. I mean, I for sure.
Yeah.
Like, she put her all into her best friend. So.
Yeah. And, like, well, that's really wonderful. Like, the way he talks about it, he's like, I love her too. Like, mm-hmm. that's what, there's always been a third person in our relationship. And it's almost like Laurel, I think, has, like, as a defense mechanism, kind of, like, shuts him out.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're nowhere to be found. And like, it just,
this hurt. Like, were what? You crying? Like, when they couldn't get a hold of the parents, I was so upset.
I wasn't upset because I've done it by myself.
I think. But like, it's so sad when you're young and something bad happens. And like, yeah. And then from the parents' perspective, it's so upsetting.
Yeah, that they wake up and they're like,
that
all this shit
they don't
happening.
Know. Like, I can't imagine mm-hmm. not knowing. Yeah. That my kid almost died in a car accident.
Yeah, it's scary. But like, he's there the whole time, and then all of a sudden they're talking, they work things out, and then he asks her to marry him in like the same breath.
Dude.
I was just like, oh no.
I was like, this is PTSD, you guys. Like, you're really just like leaning in.
I like what Metal said here, that this marriage obviously shouldn't be happening, but I feel like everyone in the show is overreacting about it. Like, they've been dating for over 3 years. They've known each other their entire lives. It's not as crazy for them to get married as everyone says it. It isn't. Like,
no,
it
isn't.
They're almost done with college.
Yeah.
Like, it's not crazy for them to get engaged.
Yeah. I think it's crazy for them to want to get married that fucking summer.
Yeah.
I'm like, calm down. Like, until you're graduated.
Yes. When she was like, August? And I was like, excuse me.
That's not enough time to plan a whole wedding.
It's not enough time to plan anything.
I'm like, don't you want to like do your bachelorette and have your bridal shower and all that stuff? So I have my best friend, Abby, married her, got engaged to her longtime like high school sweetheart the year that they graduated from college. And she was 21, and I remember getting a call and being, and she's like, guess what? And I was like, oh my God. Because it's like, it's expected. They've literally been dating since their sophomore year of high school. So we went three, it's been 7 years at that point. And it's not a surprise. I think everyone is overreacting. I think this happens a lot in our society. It happened way more back in the day when women didn't have enough freedom.
Yeah.
And
like our parents' age, it happened all the time.
And I just like, if they, at this point, like if they want to get married, let them fucking get married and make that mistake.
Yeah.
You know,
Well, let's talk about their parents' reaction in a second, but I just want to touch on Julia said that I'm pretty sure Belly is 18, 19 in the book, so the family's reaction makes more sense. And I agree that 21 isn't crazy, especially when they've been together so long. So that's interesting that, like, the time jump is more extreme. But, okay, yeah, let's talk about Laurel's reaction to the marriage and, like, how we would have handled it if it was our kid. Because, no one wants to see their kid make mistakes, especially this big. But, like, I guess it's PTSD for her because she feels like she got married too young.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be in, I would probably be in the same boat. But I don't know, because the way I reacted to Abby and Patrick, like, getting married, I was, like, excited for them. Mm-hmm. But, like, if it's my own child.
Yeah.
And I'm wanting them to explore and find themselves, I think, but I wouldn't. Oh my God, I would not tell my daughter I'm not going to go wedding dress shopping with you.
That was so hurtful.
Horrific.
That was so hard to watch.
On her birthday.
On her birthday. I was like, it's her fucking birthday. Go with her to the fucking prom. The name of the place, Prom Promises, was so fucking depressing. Like, it sounds like where you go when you're pregnant. But I think Taylor's reaction was way more justified because she had just gone through knowing that Jeremiah had this whole like little affair when they were on their break. Mm-hmm. And she had watched Belly like be very upset about it. And then she's like, wait, you're getting married now? Like swinging from one extreme to the next. Mm-hmm. But Laurel didn't even know about that.
And that's how I feel like people are going to, I feel like what's going to happen is someone's going to find out about the cheating thing.
Someone's got to find out eventually, yeah. But like, at this point, like, Belly's like tripled down.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be really, it's going to take something big to get her to like drop Jeremiah. Like, I can't see her dropping him.
I mean, that's theories. We'll get into that. But I think her dad, well, okay, wait. When they tell everyone at the table after...
I feel so bad for Conrad.
Oh, God. That they're like being like, oh, and so-and-so and is doing so good and this person's doing so good. And, oh, that was hard. And then I would have been belling that situation, being like, well, we have something really exciting to share. And then...
Well, yeah, they were so mean to fucking Jeremiah too. Mm-hmm. They're like, and Jeremiah maybe won't even graduate. Like, like That was depressing. And Conrad had just gotten fucking fired, but they're like, Conrad has a great new job. And he's just like staying quiet. Like, can you fucking throw your brother a bone?
Right?
Like, what are you doing?
I guess that, yeah.
There's resentment because of Belly.
Mm-hmm. And he's not telling anyone what's going on. And he's just at the beach house.
I know.
Too.
Like, what are you doing here?
Come on, let's tell everyone about your fuck up. It's your turn now.
Oh, my God. And it's like, he didn't, it's not that big of a fuck up, I feel like. He got another job.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa Conrad still hasn't told anyone he got fired from the intern, so he's still the golden child.
Yeah. Metal said Belly's doing this out of spite, and honestly, I'd be doing the same thing at this age. She's mad, and it's like hard for her to see their points because they're being so unsupportive. Because she has a right to be upset about how her parents are reacting so extreme. Mm-hmm. And I really loved when her dad was like, Laurel, I'm going to be at that wedding. And yeah. And I'm just like, Laurel, you can't, she has to be at that wedding if it happens. Like, she can't not go to that wedding. Like, if she, that would be horrible. And she's not that person.
Siobhan said, yeah, honestly, people make bad decisions about marriage at any age. So I'm over the, oh, they're so young thing. Mm-hmm. As long as everyone is over 20. Oh, okay. Julia said, okay, so this is interesting take. I think it's partially the actor who plays Jeremiah, to be honest. I feel like he just can't handle the more emotional scenes. He's not a great actor, in my opinion.
I do think he has some growing to do when it comes to any scene where he's upset.
Yeah, I do too.
It's giving like child actor.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that he can get better. But he hasn't yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I texted Christine over. I got so upset. Okay. Well, first of all, we've got the whole wedding dress shopping scene. And
yeah,
then
I hated upsetting.
So upsetting. I hate the fucking dress. It's disgusting, in my opinion.
Disgusting. I thought the dress wasn't. The one she picked, I thought was pretty. In actuality, it's a really expensive dress.
For sure. But then she pulls out the dress from, and in my head, I was like, the dress she wore at her debutante was so much better.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I started crying. Like, the only time I've cried so far was the flashback scene.
Oh, I was crying so much with that, yeah.
And with Laurel. Like, yeah, with Laurel. Oh, my God. Alex was sitting next to me, and I was like, okay, I cannot make this like a big reaction right now. Okay, but then at the end of this episode, the end of the fourth episode, she's like, oh, well, I don't need to go to Paris. Like, if I feel this way after, like, 1 week of not being together, like, what is it going to... I'm like, no! Mm-hmm. And then he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, God.
He's like, I didn't want you to go either. I'm like, he just folds so easily because he's such a fucking whiny-ass baby now.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't with season 3 Jeremiah. He wasn't like this before. Like, in season 2, he's a little whiny. You know what? I just watched this scene with... Oh, I hated this. Like, I think it was a little bit of poor acting. But, like, they blow a tire on their way to Cousins in season 2 to go find Conrad because he's, like, missing. And Belly's like... He's like, oh, we have to call AAA. And she's like, I know how to change a tire. Like, I can walk us through it. Let's just get the spare off the back. And he's like, that's a tire? And she, like, that's real? And she's like, yes. And he is, like, doing the jack. And she's, like, telling him how to do it. And he's like, I'm trying, Belly. I'm trying. And I'm like, what is going on that this you have to, like, say you're trying like that? And then he like accidentally like moves the jack or something, and she's like, I told you to move it over. He's like, you know what, Belly, the AAA would have been here by now. And I'm just like, wow,
forgot about the scene.
This is so stupid. Calm the fuck down. You got it. Like, it was so ridiculous the way he was like just so upset about it.
I think it's all been there in Jeremiah. He's just really wanted to win, I think, in a sense. Like,
he's a competition with Conrad.
Yeah. And so, and he won the prize, which was Belly so far. And
I do think he loves Belly. I think he doesn't know how to care for someone else.
Yes, I think that is exactly it. He needs to grow. Mm-hmm. Metal says it's an inferiority complex thing.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. And it's just getting worse, like, with age, I feel like. Because he has it with his dad and with Connie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm calling him Connie. I've never done that in my life. But here I am saying it like every other word.
Because Conrad is so hard to say.
Yeah.
It's rolling off the tongue. Metal says they really assassinated Jer's character this season.
They did. They really leaned into all his little flaws.
Yeah.
They just like saw there's a crack here. Let's like pull it open with the jaws of life.
Oh, Aaron said, I feel like now that he feels like he won, he doesn't have to pretend to be less whiny. Well, he's just not trying as hard anymore. He's just allowing himself to fall into the let's have Belly take care of me.
Yeah.
And
this is a trajectory for men that are not like ready for like to be a committed husband or partner. You know, like they try enough until they get the girl and then they let her take care of him.
That is. Yeah. Jeremiah is the man that none of us want to marry ever.
But like we do fall for because he's so hot.
Yep.
And he's so fun. And I feel like he hasn't been fun.
He's not been fun.
No. It's sad because he was so fun before. Like he was such a cutie in season one. The ramen com. Oh my God, Gabby, I know. Okay, so his dad is like, you have to like make enough money to support your wife if you're going to be a husband and like put food on the table. And he's like, well, Belly's favorite food is ramen, like from the cup or whatever, a cup of noodles or some shit. And like, so I think we'd be fine. Like, fucking Jeremiah. She does not want to eat fucking ramen for the rest of her fucking life. That shit's not healthy. Are you shitting me?
Oh my God. And now that he has to pay his dad back $20,000 too from the one extra semester, he's already in debt.
The dad is a big asshole. Like he is an asshole. And the way he handled that was so upsetting. But like, yeah, they're feeding off of each other's toxicity.
Julia says I also completely forgot, but Jeremiah is bisexual in season one. I feel like the aspect of his character was dropped. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He hasn't even thought about it, I feel like. He probably should have hooked up with a dude over the break. I think that would have been way more interesting.
Definitely been way more interesting.
For his character. Yeah. Because, they really have, like, dropped the bi aspect completely. Because that girl was so cliche. I hated her.
Yeah.
It was like such a stereotype, the way that she reacted to, the way that she was like, oh, Jer.
Okay.
This season is literally a masterclass in character assassination, Aaron says.
I'm not having fun. Like, that's for sure.
I'm not having fun, but I am still like, oh my God, I'm so excited for the next episode. I am still thoroughly addicted.
Let's talk about like what we think might happen.
Yeah. Can I talk about what I think is going to happen?
Yeah.
I feel like Jeremy's going to die. I'm very scared.
I feel like if he dies, they get married first and then we time jump.
Yes.
And then he dies in 5 years.
Well, oh no, I didn't think that. But like, that's a possibility for sure. Like, I still think like whatever happens, I feel like there's a possibility he gets very hurt or dies. But, like, I think the only way she could end up with Conrad at this point, and I feel like she has to, like, I just feel like that is what this trajectory is from the very beginning. Like, he was the one, you know? So, to get to him to be the one after she's tripled down, said she's going to marry him, like, how do we get there without it being completely morally inept, you know? I don't know if that's the word inept, but, like, morally wrong. And she has to... I don't think Jer's going to cheat on her again. Like, I don't think he's cruel like that. Like, I think he's a sweet boy who's like needs to grow. But like, I think he has to die or he has to break up with her and there has to be a 10-year time jump. And then she'll like run into Conrad at a hospital or like in the pharmacy and be like, oh my God, hi.
I think it's so sad that Conrad has been avoiding like everyone for so long.
He's basically stepped out of his own life to let them be together.
And it's very sad.
Yeah.
Especially after losing your mom and like the people that you're closest to.
Like they're his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like a happy ending. Can there be a happy ending where none of them are together? No. Unless we got like a really nice arc with a new person.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, yeah, it just feels like she's not going to end up with anyone. I don't know.
I don't think she can end up with no one. Like, I don't think that that would be the Game of Thrones ending that everybody hates. Like, as an author, like, putting on a book like that, social suicide.
Mm-hmm. I hope, here's what I think I want. I want them to break up. I want them there to be, like, a breakup. And then understanding, like, this probably isn't the best thing for us. Part ways. She goes off to Paris, starts a new job. And then somehow Conrad and her end up in the same city 5-6 years later.
That would be ideal.
And rekindle. And Jeremiah know each has other again.
Gotten, like, found a boyfriend that he's in love with and gotten married.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has to let go of the fucking beach house because that's the thing that, like, keeps her, I think, there rooted. Like, she always wants to be back at the beach house in the summer.
And it's like an
she's
anchor.
She's going to have to learn that she can't always be there.
Yeah, and that life still can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Pauline says, who do you think Susanna wanted Belly to end up with? I think it's Connie. I think she, like, faded them from the start because in season one, she's like, I always knew it. Erin says, if she doesn't end up with Conrad, everything will feel pointless. It will. Because, like, that was the arc of the story. Everyone is speculating if she ends up alone, and I'm not against that. Conrad deserves better. I mean, I just think, like, storytelling-wise, it just can't happen.
Yeah. I saw something where, like, congratulations, Rory Gilmore. You have now been demoted from most hated
protagonist.
And, like, Belly's up there now. I don't hate Belly.
No. I don't hate Rory, though, either.
It just depends how the next few episodes are going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Belly just has to, like, someone has to clear the fog from her brain. Like, I think if she talked to the right person, they could get through to her. Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe what will happen, I think this is a possibility too. So, like, she's too, like, she realizes before they get married that, like, she is too fucking hurt, like, by her parents not being there. Like, she can't go through with it. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter how much she wants to do it to defy her mom, like, she can't do it without her mom there. Like, and then Jeremiah's upset because, like, his family doesn't want it either, but, like, he's still down to do it, and then maybe that causes a rift. What I thought at the very beginning of this season, when the second that Jeremiah asked her to marry her, and she's like, yes! I was like, oh my god, is there going to be a wedding where it's like, speak now or forever hold your fucking peace, and Conrad gets up and says something, or Laurel says something, because she wrote this to speak now!
It's giving Bridgerton season 2.
I mean, yes, but, like, we're in way deeper, I feel like.
For sure. It's way deeper than that. But
we're in way deep.
Oh, yeah. And then Conrad agreed to be the best man just because he saw Belly crying.
Oh, my God. Belly is so confused right now, I feel like. She's just, like, she knows everything is fucked. And that's why she's crying. She just needs someone to support her. She needs someone to say, like, you're doing the right thing right now, because no one is. Kat says Belly doesn't have a personality outside of the boys anymore. And I think, like, this whole situation has just, like, overtaken her whole life because everyone's disagreeing with it.
Yeah, she can't just, like,
be casual about it.
No, and enjoy it. You know, worry about other things. She has to worry about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like,
she's in fight mode.
She's in fight or flight. I think, and she has flight too. I feel like, everybody in the show needs to go to fucking therapy desperately. And nobody is.
No.
Okay. Well, I think we kind of covered everything, right? Did you have any other theories? Do we think that Steven and Taylor are going to get together at the end?
Oh, Steven and Taylor. Mm. They're messy.
They are very messy. But I think a lot of that's like stemming from Taylor's insecurities.
Mm-hmm. I would like them to get together. I heard someone say that there's like pregnancy rumors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that for her.
I don't like that. I feel like they're trying really hard to draw. Like they're drawing a really obvious Gilmore Girls comparison when they were like, we can watch Gilmore Girls. And I was like, guys, we know you're referencing Gilmore Girls. It was obvious from the second the mom stepped in and she looked like so young.
I mean, I don't need Steven and Taylor to get together.
Yeah, I do like him with his coworker.
Yeah,
Julia.
Me too.
I'm waiting for something to happen with them, obviously.
I also think, like, they're all so young to have an end game. I mean, Belly, Jer, and Khan, all, you know, that's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need Steven and Taylor to be together.
Yeah. Yeah. This idea that, like, whoever you loved as a child is your, like, forever love. I mean, I think for some people, yes. But, like, that time in your life, like, when you're a teenager, you're not, like, a full person. Like, you're so easily swayed into lots of other mindsets, mm-hmm. because you haven't experienced enough yet. And it's just, like, a fact. I just feel like you're so malleable that it's hard to know if you're actually going to still like that person in 10 years, because you mm-hmm. haven't, like, come into your confidence enough to mm-hmm. know who you actually want to be, because yeah. you just haven't lived long enough. Like, I feel like it's very, very hard to know at that age.
Well, and I mean, I think, as Christine and I have been single our whole lives, I do think getting married young, there's pros and cons to everything, right? Like, you might have a family early on, but, like, you're living your whole life with someone and thinking about someone in that regard and not allowing yourself to fully thrive. Like, you're always taking care of somebody in some sense.
Well,
so,
yeah. I mean, but, like, the thing is, like, when you're teenagers and you're together, like, you're going to be, it's going to be very easy if you get married to, like, grow in really different ways, because you haven't, like, mm-hmm. done that. Your cerebral cortex hasn't fully developed, like, all of that mm-hmm. stuff. You haven't, like, until you've, like, moved away from your parents, you haven't had room to become your own person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like you really easily get stuck in, like, the same loop that maybe you've been in your whole life if you get married mm-hmm. really young.
Yeah. Metal says, I love childhood friends to lovers, but not like this.
I never have loved this trope. It doesn't.
I like it when they find each other again.
I like when there's a gap.
Yeah.
Like when they like there's a time jump and then they get back together and like know each other's adults again. Like they date as adults. Mm-hmm. But like when you've just been together your whole life with the same person, you don't know other people.
Mm-hmm.
You just, like, from being in the world, you meet all different types of people and, like, grow as a person. But, like, if you're just with the same group forever, you never expand your worldview. That's why she's gonna fucking Paris. Like, she has codependency.
Oh, with for Jared. Sure.
They're codependent. Mm-hmm. And just, like, bonded through grief and trauma.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Alex and I have.
Yeah, but, like, it's different. Like, it's not a romantic relationship.
No,
like, ever, like, everyone has that with, like, their family. I feel like you're a right. lot of, like, we're trauma bonded. Bonds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Romantic relationship that's, like, kind of started out as siblings is interesting. It's a very interesting concept that, like,
yeah,
you're just with that person and you know, like, you've experienced, like, such incredible, incredible lows mm-hmm. and highs together. And it's like, how am I supposed to do life without these people in my mm-hmm. life? And it's like, oh my God, I have to get married to them because, like, we've gone through so many things together. Like, yeah. I get it. I get it. But, oof.
Yeah. Like, with Conrad, like, he's almost, like, done the healthiest thing he can. Because he now knows that he can be in a different place without them and still, like, thrive. Not fully yet, but, like, he's trying. I don't think Belly's like right for him right now. I think this would be a horrible idea, jumping from Jeremy to Conrad.
Yep.
It can't happen. Like, it just can't. It would have to be a time jump.
Yeah. I'm definitely team time jump again.
Team time jump. Team, like, they're in their 30s. They find each other. They realize that they now, as adults, fit together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't trust Jenny. I think she's gonna rip out our hearts. Anyway, okay. Shall we move into America's Cliff? All right, Mary, Kiss, Cliff, Conrad, Jeremiah, or Belly's dad?
Belly's dad?
Belly's dad is, like, weirdly attractive this season.
Oh.
Like, I feel like Belly's dad has gone through some real growth, and maybe I'd marry him and kiss
Us
Jeremiah.
Us in our 30s? Yes.
Like, literally, his girlfriend was, like, 27, I think, in the first season. I was like, wow.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to marry God. If I married Jeremiah, he would be my child.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
All right. I think I'm gonna cliff Jeremiah.
Yeah, wow.
At this point, mm-hmm. I mean,
I want to kiss him. I feel like he's fun.
I think I'd rather kiss Conrad and marry Belly's dad. Jesus.
I want to marry Belly's dad. Yeah. Cliff Conrad. And he's just so, I am so annoyed by Conrad. Like, in this season, not as much, but like, I still don't like how he's handling things. You know, it was like crazy, them like being like ridiculous, like this is ridiculous.
Oh God.
And then Conrad overhearing it, like they sounded like such babies.
Yeah, they did. They are. They're
I
children.
Know. But they're not like children as hard as they could be. You know what I mean? Like they're 21 and 22. All right, folks. Well, that is our episode today. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Team Jeremiah, Team Conrad. Just please don't spoil the end of the show. Mm-hmm. Or the book, because the book is probably what's going to happen, obviously. But yeah, we have you can comment on Spotify, you can comment on the YouTube comments, you can comment on Instagram, follow us on Instagram at Those Working Fangirls. That's where you hear about everything going on first, usually. Mm-hmm. So hit us up over there. The links are in the show notes. Our show is edited by Emma Burton, Vergard, Natasha Polis, Christine Riccio, and Alex Polis. Our show music is by Cole Jenkins and vocals by Heather Traska. We release new episodes every Friday. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next week. Bye, everybody. Oh, we're about to go record Tea Time. So if you're a patron, we'll see you there.
See you there.